Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here until 12 o'clock. We'll get you over to Sabres Live. If you did miss it, Derek brought up in our last segment, Noah Austin recalled to the Buffalo Sabres. We'll see if he gets any action. They do have a back-to-back this weekend, Tampa Bay Saturday, Boston Sunday.
He's played well enough to get a look.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, like, I saw that name come across. I was like, ooh, okay, I won't be able to watch the Saturday game, but I'm going to be keeping an eye on it. He is somebody I am very curious about.
He's a guy that I've mentioned now a couple times to you two in particular, whether it's on air or off air. No, I don't want to hear any trade offers that involve Noah Osland.
Yeah, you've been very adamant about that one.
Yeah, I've been very adamant about that one, and it is with good reason. I think the man screams middle six center.
Mm-hmm.
And what is better than having that kind of a rotational piece that can go up and down the lineup?
Yeah.
Who can penalty kill for you, play power play minutes, give you a top six time if you need it. Be a solid fixture on your third line based on the roster's current construction.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good point on the roster construction, too, because you've seen kind of the ascension Ryan McLeod's had this year and yep. having, I mean, easily a career year. We've still got, what, 8 games left, too? So, I mean, he potentially is going to even add to this year as well. That trade's been really, really wonderful for the Sabres. Hopefully we're going to hear from Sal Capaccio in the next few minutes as the speaking portions of today's ceremony, the Highmark Stadium topping out ceremony. We heard from a lot of people. Roger Goodell wrapped it up, the NFL commissioner. We also heard from Mark Poloncarz, Kathy Hochul, Terry Pegula. Matty Glad was emceeing it. So we'll hopefully get connected to Sal here in the next few minutes, kind of get his thoughts on that. There's a lot of excitement, though, with all that. And, Derek, we talked about it before the ceremony began, kind of just about, you know, the lasting memories and really this sort of, at least for me, I know you mentioned you've been thinking about it last year about how we were heading towards this final year in the current Highmark Stadium.
Yep.
For me, it's relatively recent where it's been like, oh,
this is happening.
Yeah, we are heading to this next season, the next home opener is going to be the last one in the current Highmark Stadium.
Yeah.
But it's different from where, like, I see stuff like the Oakland A's. Mm-hmm. Right, and you know how tragic that whole experience has been.
Yeah.
Where now there's even reports Sacramento might be a one and done kind of situation there that they haven't even totally gotten. I think the lease is all figured out there, and it's just a cluster where this can be happy memories. And sure, fans are probably going to want to take some stuff from the old Highmark Stadium when it's all said and done. I get it; it's fun. I love it, but it won't be this tragic memory. Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns leaving when they do, and the tragedy of it all. This is going to be much more, I would almost say triumphant, because this has been a small market team that for most of its history, for many of our histories with this team, you've had to constantly hear about relocation. Yeah, threats about relocation to the point where Austin, Texas, of all places, was being promoted as a potential destination, which, by the way, real quick, how embarrassing would it be for an NFL stadium to go there and be significantly smaller than the college stadium? I mean, like, that was always my immediate thought whenever Austin was being thrown out there. I'm like, cool, you're going to put a 70,000-person stadium when the college team is a 100,000-person stadium?
Yep.
That's what you're going to do?
That's what you're going to do. So before that, though, it was always Los Angeles.
Yes.
The minute that there were no teams in L.A., the Buffalo Bills were constantly, Bills and Jaguars both, constantly thrown in for they could get relocated to L.A. To a point where I got very sick of hearing L.A. And now, you obviously see that they have their two teams, yada, yada, yada. It doesn't make for any excuses. London's a new hot ticket for the Jaguars, threats. But it does come back to, yes, there is an anchor point again. I do think it is interesting that I managed to be a little bit of a step ahead on this mentally. On, yeah, no, this is the last year at that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this is going to sound cold. The new one's only going up across the street.
But I think I actually like that better than maybe if they try to build it downtown, or I think Cleveland is mentioned.
If it was down the road,
yeah,
it would be like different. Or if it was in any other location within Buffalo, it is vastly different. Mm-hmm. It is right across the street. So I don't know how heavy the sentimentality needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, last hour, said plenty about it. It's this weird, like I said, it sounds cold. But it is interesting. Like, the new stadium is literally up across the street.
Mm-hmm.
A Josh Allen football throw away.
Yep.
I have to make sure I say it like that because it's not a stone's throw for the common person. It's Josh Allen's. It is interesting, though, where you can feel sentimental about it. But also, I'm checking myself with, yeah, but the new one's right over here. That part's weird to me. But I also know that it's the look, the feeling that you got, the views that you got, those are not going to be the same ever again.
Mm-hmm.
The design of the stadium itself. Knowing if you had to go into below ground level for your seats at the 100 level, or if you were heading up. That's going to be more steep now. Like, those seats, they're going to have ones that are higher. So now I look at it as, yeah, you can be sentimental about the old one, but it's also going to be interesting to see what happens in the new one. Because wouldn't it be bleeping awesome if the first game of that stadium is the first game of the National Football League's calendar year?
I think a lot of people have had that sort of dream scenario, especially because the Bills did just make the AFC Championship.
You have a team realistically that can do it.
And as I've felt about this draft class, I think there's going to be, maybe not superstars, because I've heard a lot of people mention this as well about this class of, there's a lot of just dudes. This draft fills out rosters, and I think that's really what the Bills need, especially on defense. You know, that's the dream. That's the dream right there, that you close out the old stadium, maybe in an AFC Championship win, and you open up the new stadium in a Super Bowl win. And unlike some teams where you're like, that's a pipe dream, what are we talking about here? The Bills have been great for 5-6 years. They have had a realistic shot at this, and it does feel like we're getting to a point of, you know, if not now, when kind of deal.
Right.
Not to put a pressure, you know, on this, but they are great. I keep seeing stats as well, talking about the AFC teams. You know, Baltimore, Kansas City, and Buffalo keep beating everybody. They've got the highest winning percentages, most amount of wins, what have you. The only team, though, that's been to a Super Bowl is Kansas City. The only team that's won one, of course, is Kansas City, where Baltimore and Buffalo are waiting.
Stop hogging the glory, Chiefs.
And me and you have mentioned that, too, where the Chiefs have somewhat taken the oxygen out of the AFC, that no other team can really brag or have fun at 100% with this era, because the Chiefs are hogging all the fun.
Because they put the endings in the same scope no matter what.
No matter
for
what.
For those other organizations.
We talked about it during the AFC divisional game with Baltimore and Buffalo, where we both went, this might be one of the best wins ever, and it could all be gone the next week. And it kind of has.
We were also saying during that Bills and Ravens game, this whoever wins this game has to win against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You better.
Because it was the feeling of you're going to take all of the momentum out of any feelings about both teams. That it will be this season was for naught. You lost again to them. Here we go. And then, of course, they get blown out in the Super Bowl. And it's, I think for some people, taking a little bit of the sting out.
But, a little bit of the sting out. But then it's also why – I don't want to say – why couldn't we be the ones that got our butts kicked by Philadelphia? But at the same time, I'm also thinking maybe that Super Bowl is a little less boring.
Oh, I absolutely think so. Yeah.
You also have thought, though, the Bills would have met that fate no matter what against the Eagles.
I think it would have been more exciting, but yeah, like that was always my feeling as we got closer where it was just like, oh man, they look really good.
I'm looking at it as I don't know why, but the Bills would have been prepared somehow.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we'll see. But that is absolutely the dream scenario. We go now back to the Western Hotline, though, as Sal Capaccio joins us following the completion of today's topping out ceremony. Sal, it was long. A lot of people spoke. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's a big day. And there were a lot of people here that had a lot to do with what happened to get this to this point. And obviously you had Terry Pegula on stage and speak. Governor Kathy Hochul, Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz, and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell stayed around a little bit afterwards to take a whole bunch of pictures with construction workers who wanted to say hi and meet him. So that was a cool scene to see him taking pictures with all those construction workers. He was signing hard hats. That was pretty cool, too, to kind of watch that happen. It's a nice day today and beautiful weather, guys. I mean, really, it's sunny now. It's getting a little bit warmer, so couldn't ask for a better day here in Orchard Park.
Oh, God, now I'm thinking about that. Could you imagine if it was like yesterday? Or the day before.
Ooh,
like, yeah. That would have been tough.
Yeah, that would have been tough.
Obvious, but it would have been, but we're good.
It
was a perfect day for it. Sal, obviously we're in here. We weren't totally being able to watch the video. What was it like when they were putting up the final piece of steel and everything like that?
I have never seen something like this. I've never been a part of this. Mm-hmm. I don't work in the construction industry. I've never really been around it to that degree. I've had a job in construction many years ago in college, but nothing like this, right? And watching it happen was just kind of really interesting, unique for me. So they took this big steel beam, obviously, that was attached to a crane, and they raised it up very slowly, and they had the Bill Shout song playing. And then when the got to a certain point, they kind of had it go a little bit faster, and then it gets all the way up to the top, and you have a whole bunch of workers are still up there, and they kind of lay it down and secure it. It was a pretty cool thing because I'd never seen something like this before, guys.
Yeah, that was something I was like, oh man, like as it was happening, I'm like, do I go in there and rush to go see it? No, I've got to talk because I am with you. I've never seen something like that. But Sal, real quick to those that missed in our first segment we were talking with you before this all began, what comes next now? Of course, this is not the completion of the stadium. They've still got some work to do, right?
Yes, for sure. So one of the things John Polka just told me, who's the project manager, I don't know the exact title, John, my apologies, but he said that it's the last piece of construction steel. I wanted to make that clear. There is some more steel, and then there's some more other, you got things going on inside the stadium, concessions and building up the stadium itself. So a lot of that stuff's happening as well. Guys, I got to run. I got a few people here I got to go talk to.
Sounds good, Sal. We'll talk to you again soon. That was Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline. A lot of hustle and bustle down there. It was not as many people shouting in the background from when he first came on. It was still equal to it, though. I mean, there were still a lot of people in the background. We got to take another timeout, though. We're almost caught up. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
We did a great job. We are, for the most part, caught up on our break structure.
Yeah, baby.
And we are, it's Friday. Josh has this weird cowboy hat that he shared with Nate and Jeremy this morning.
It's not a weird cowboy hat. It's a normal
cowboy hat. All cowboy hats are weird. We're vibing here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. That's Zach Jones. Josh Schmidt on the board, bringing in cowboy hats for some reason here in a Western New York setting.
I can't judge
him,
though.
What's the first word? Western.
Oh. There you go.
Now what? Oh,
way
he's walking
get
out
him.
Of the room. Yeah, he's scared.
Bye.
He's going to walk out of the room.
I will tell you, though. And I can't totally judge Josh. Number one, my brother has a cowboy hat. Because, number two, he got it from Austin. I went to Austin this fall to go see a Texas game. If I'd stayed a day longer, I was either getting a pair of boots or a cowboy hat. That
you
is
should
fact.
Have gotten both.
You
should have.
I don't got that kind
Do you
of money.
Have to, though?
I feel
you
like
don't
you
have
do.
To.
I would have gotten the hat or the boots, and then I would have desperately wanted the other one.
See, listen, I got all this.
The boots I would have wore. The hat was just going to be on a mantle.
I got all this when I went to Nashville for the very first time. I had always, I mean, when I was a little kid, I had a cowboy hat, but obviously that's for like a kid. And I had boots too, but like never really got back into it again. But then I've always been a country music fan and all that sort of stuff. So like, you know, I love the boots and everything. And when we were down there, the one boot store had a good sale. You could buy one, get two free. That's, you can't beat that.
No, you
so I got two pairs of boots. My girlfriend got a pair of boots and then I got the hat. You got to complete the ensemble.
You see the that sale pop
I'm
up
talking,
and gets you.
I know I'm talking strictly as a hater. So I need to make sure that I make that clear. Like I am being a hater right now, and that's perfectly fine. Mostly because it did objectively look hilarious when all three of you had that hat on today.
That was good. That was good.
As a matter of fact,
the 9 o'clock hour of Jeremy, Joe, and Nate.
As a matter of fact, Josh, when I walked in here, what was my reaction?
Walking away?
Yes. I turned around, walked away, and then took an entire lap around just to commit to the bit.
That's good. That's good.
So I am a hater, 1,000%. Where did you get your hat, Josh?
Nashville.
Nashville, as in Tennessee, like the Titans. Hate.
Oh.
And I ruined it for him. There we go. Mission accomplished.
No, see,
I did it.
The Titans give Nashville a bad name. Nashville's a great city. Just put him somewhere else.
Just put him somewhere else.
They tried.
They should try again.
Unplug it, plug it back in. We'll run it back.
Don't even plug it back in.
Shove him over to Memphis again. See if they want him.
Nope, just take him out of the state entirely.
If Cam Ward is good, though, they may have ugly jerseys. But we've seen a quarterback changes how you
I would rather have to wear a cowboy hat and cowboy boots than ever put a Tennessee Titans uniform on my person.
I agree. I'm with you on the bad uniforms. But if they have a good quarterback, if they have a good quarterback, they become fun to watch.
Ready? I don't care about the fun to watch. I'm already dug in at this point.
Well, that's fair.
One of my biggest points of hitting them is also they did something illegal to beat the Bills and made their Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. They did do that. They did do that. That's right. That's right. They did lose that Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, and that's ball don't lie.
Fair. That's fair.
And maybe that was the distance that the ball was afforded.
I was about
by.
To say, I'm like, well, maybe it all works out math-wise.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Speaking of cowboy hats, Colorado, Deion Sanders, he likes to wear them a lot when he's marching out there for the
that's
games.
That's right.
Their pro day's going on, that's or the transition. Colorado Showcase. Travis Hunter not participating today. Unsurprising. He is going to be easily a top five pick.
They know he's going to be lowest pick is four.
Yeah.
And like, there's no need to even try to do anything to up his draft stock at that point.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you mentioned Tennessee. If Travis Hunter participates in this, are the Tennessee Titans suddenly swooned over and say, we don't take a quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I still theorize they're going to trade down.
Yeah, you're still on that.
I'm not Sabres go sign Mitch Marner hill to die on, but it's in there. It's in the back of my mind, and until the pick is announced, like the pick is in, I'm going to be like, could they?
I love your theory on it because they have so few draft picks.
Yeah.
They are the worst record-wise, the worst team in the NFL.
Also,
but if you like the quarterback, you got to take the quarterback.
And the reason that they're there is Will Levis was known more for memes than wins last year.
His coach wanted to fight him a month into the season.
Yes. It was
so
bad.
Like that's and I bring it up, you know, somewhat jokingly, but if Cam
you
Ward
You can't
hits,
run Will Levis back
no.
at all next year.
And
you
if
can't.
And if Ward hits, you saw what happened with Washington. Everything changes. They become more fun to watch. They become interesting. The talent level on the team
rises. I also
rises.
Don't see Cam Ward as that, though.
I'm up and down about him. I'm up and down about
and
him.
And if you're up and down about him, he shouldn't be the number one overall pick.
Well, no. Well,
but that's why the theory is there about the Titans. Mm-hmm. Can you get someone to move up even two picks?
To go get him.
To go get him.
Whether it be the Giants or even Cleveland going from one to two.
I need a smoke screen in the week of the draft where it says like Cleveland is really debating moving up to go get him. Because then that spooks the Giants to move up.
Yeah, on Cam Ward, though, It's I'm up and down on him in terms of do I think he's going to be that guy that can turn a franchise around. We forget he kind of turned Miami around. Miami has good rosters. They had bad quarterbacks. They've been in bad situations. Were they ultimately kind of a miss this year? In reality, yes. You know, they don't win the ACC. They don't make the college football playoff. But he was electric. He was great for them. And there is something to it now. As much as I made fun of Bo Nix being 45 and entering the draft, he wasn't. He was 24. But there is something to playing the amount of games Ward has played in college, Bo Nix played in college, Jaden Daniels played in college, to them all of a sudden making that jump to the NFL and being ready to go right away. I don't think Tennessee's a finished product, far from it. I also didn't think Washington was a finished product, far from it. And yet when they got a good quarterback in there, or you know, I believe Daniels to be potentially great, it didn't matter. All of a sudden the roster looked way different and way better. And so that's where, for me, I know they only have four picks in the draft, but if you even remotely like the quarterback, you got to take him because it changes everything. And that's why I think a lot of teams, and why you're seeing it, like Shedeur Sanders is going to – I haven't seen any reports that he's not. I will be stunned if he doesn't participate in today's pro day.
No, yeah.
Because his whole month has been how far could he fall?
How far could he fall?
Yeah.
And now you want to convince a team maybe to move up for him or – maybe a team that is picking in that top 10 that might go ahead and kick the tires on a quarterback now instead if Shedeur Sanders looks good here. That said, I would also love it if I'm Shedeur Sanders if my top receiver was there to throw to. Just saying.
Yeah, it's going to bite. It's going to bite a little
that
bit.
That would help.
That's going to bite
a little bit.
What's the furthest you think Sanders could
Pittsburgh.
Fall? Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh? No further.
Pittsburgh at 21.
Pittsburgh no further. I absolutely still think that the thing is, I'm more convinced on Sanders as a quarterback than Ward.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, I don't know, man. I just, granted, this quarterback class has EJ Manuel, Geno Smith screaming all over it because of there is no true number one guy. Like, or even, ready? Kenny Pickett.
I was going to say, it's giving more of those. No, because it's better than
even that draft class.
Because Ward has convinced some people that he is going to be very good.
And it's also Ward has convinced people that he will not make it out of the top five.
Yeah.
The Kenny Pickett draft class, much like the EJ Manuel draft class, teams were like, nah, we'll let them slide down.
Kenny Pickett's only taken in the first round because the Rooney family that owned the Steelers were convinced it was Dan Marino come again.
Yes.
That they had missed on Marino out of Pittsburgh and were like, we can make up for this.
And now with Sanders, I think quarterback is the one thing that we need. Aaron Rodgers keeps putting us off and showing us he doesn't really want to be here. So we're done. And we give him a guy like DK Metcalf and George Pickens to throw to.
Right.
We might get some instant magic out of this.
Man, and it all comes down to where Rodgers goes. If Rodgers holds out long enough to where it's draft day and the Steelers are like, Sanders is here.
We're taking him.
We're taking him.
I will laugh hysterically.
The quarterbacks...
The cameras will see me pleased.
The quarterback class this year is going to be the most fun storyline to follow for this draft. Because I've mentioned, too, I think three guys get taken in the first round. It's also because I think Sanders does go before 21. Mm-hmm. But Pittsburgh has sort of been the linchpin to this where I think they get tired of waiting. They made the DK Metcalf trade. They have George Pickens. I think if you're asking the Steelers honestly, they believe if we just get solid quarterback play, we are good. I don't know if I agree with that.
That's correct that you should be thinking that way. It's also correct that you think that they are thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
They are wrong. But everything that you said is accurate.
But they make the Metcalf trade. They give him a big deal. They still have Pickens on the roster. I think if all of a sudden they like Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders is there, I think they take him. And I think that could be a real fun storyline to follow on draft night. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We haven't had really any time to call for callers. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to give your thoughts on the draft. Talk a little Sabres as well with Noah Austin getting called up to the Sabres. We'll talk plenty more of that in the final half hour of today's show. You're listening to WGR.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The reality with Williams is that he's an unbelievable run defender and has not translated a lot of that to the pass rush. And so if we lived in an NFL where stopping the run was the most important thing, he'd be like a top 10 pick, right? I mean, he's unbelievable against the run. Zone two, zone away, double teams, everything. His block recognition, deconstruction, it's unbelievable. It's just that's not the most valuable thing. Now, if you're telling me, all right, I've got Ed Oliver playing three tech, I need a guy to play over the center and help protect Ed, who's a little bit undersized, take two blockers, let my fast linebackers run and chase, I tell you, Tyreek Williams. Right now, when I do mock drafts, if he's there for the Bills, I take him and I don't blink.
And as ESPN's Benjamin Solak on One Bills Live yesterday, talking about Ohio State defensive tackle Tyreek Williams, big guy. I don't have his height, but I know he's 326 pounds.
Big boy.
And as you heard there, big-time run defender, a little bit of a space eater. That's the kind of person I'm – and it's why I brought up Kenneth Grant a lot. You know,
right.
The other guy in that rivalry as sort of – I want pass rushing ability. That's why Tyreek Williams I'd have more in like the second round idea if they go for this. I don't think he'll be a problem to get in the first round if they really wanted him. I think he could be available there in the early mid part of the second round. But I think Grant has more of an ability to develop a pass rushing game. I don't know about that with Tyreek Williams. Both, though, appear to be great run defenders and would open up at Oliver. And I think that's a big part of this. Because I've heard a lot of people bring this up, too, on Twitter. I've seen before Daquan Jones' pec injury, you know, the same game that Matt Milano got hurt.
The disaster in London.
Again. Daquan Jones was the perfect complementary piece to Ed Oliver, plus himself being a great player. He was a space eater that was dominant, really opening up avenues for Ed Oliver, and that defense was eating. They were having a wonderful time causing hell for opposing offenses, and they've really been struggling since. Daquan Jones really has not been the same player since that pec injury. You can argue Matt Milano has not been the same since his injury either. That's the kind of player I'm looking for. Me and you, Derek, we've talked about a lot, the beef wagon.
Right.
Add on the interior in that
Add
first
on
line.
The interior, give me
in
some
that
size.
First round.
And for me, the beef wagon also extends. Like, there's multiple cars. One's for another pass rusher, so that I could, you know, shut up about the depth with the pass rush.
Right.
So there's a couple cars involved. Where you get them, I'm not worried about, especially with how deep this class is. If you at least get me two cars, a space-eating defensive tackle, and an extra pass rusher to boot, I will be happy. The beef wagon will be occupied. Mm-hmm. With the right occupants, and we get to roll along here, just chugging away and then enjoying the rest of the draft.
I do think a lot of Bills fans, though, and I can understand it, and to be fair, it's a big thing for me, too. When you do hear he's a great run defender and he's a big guy.
It's an extra checkmark.
It's an extra checkmark, especially after last year. You could argue that was a huge, huge issue for the Bills last year and a big part in why the Baltimore game became as close as it did, because they had to sell out to stop Henry. And they had to do that a few times throughout the year.
And yeah, that was the other part, like a few times in the year. You look at the Detroit game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They sell out to stop Gibbs because Montgomery gets injured. But they sell out to stop Gibbs. And it cost them. They started getting chewed up. Kyren Williams even. They were trying to make sure to stop him. And then Puka Nacua just decided, no, I'm going to tell these corners they're bad for some reason. And Bills fans, go ahead. Take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
They had to do it a couple of times, and it often led to the games where they would really get scored on.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that might be another thing where Tyrek Williams specifically, he's not my favorite pick at 30. If they did it, I would have zero complaints.
Exactly.
Realistically, I have better options that I'd like.
You might have to reach on it, but based on that, the Bills would say, we didn't get any good trade back offers that we liked, so we're going to take them right now and secure the middle of the defensive line.
We're just going to take them, get much better. And you know, this is where also I was a big proponent last year. Now, I wouldn't say big proponent. I did like the idea. T'Vondre Sweat out of Texas last year.
Yes.
The big defensive tackle. Tennessee ultimately goes and gets him. And that was one of their few bright spots. Now he had some maturity issues that he had to kind of deal with and stuff like that. It seems like it's been pretty good in Tennessee. But he was one of their bright spots in the interior of their defense. I wonder how this season went. If, say, instead of drafting Cole Bishop in the second round, different position, but we didn't see much of Cole Bishop last year because of injuries. If they instead drafted T'Vondre Sweat, how much do they actually have to sell out on the run? Because he was a starter day one and was very good day one. Didn't, you know, pop off the stat sheet, but you add him with Ed Oliver with Rousseau, not having to sell out on the run, just having him be there. You know, what does Ed Oliver's season look like? I mean, there was a big part of last year where we're all going, is he even playing? It felt like that. He was playing, but it felt like he wasn't there.
And so I hope that Tyrek Williams ends up in this on our website, as Joe Marino from Locked On Bills is working with Howard Simon here on putting together draft profiles on our website. First two have released and are on our website right now, but those are in the secondary. Trey Amos and Siobhan Revelle. And I know Revelle is big with Nate. Nate loves...
Me and Nate.
Yeah, like Nate was the one that I think the loudest in the first pounding the table on Revelle. Though I am very interested to see where the rest of these draft profiles are going to end up going.
We do have one more today that I think came out in the last hour or so. Another cornerback, because I think
it was Trey Amos. Yeah,
they're doing that now. Trey Amos was yesterday. Today, Darian Porter Jr. out of Iowa State.
Is the
newest one up. Right. I think that came out like in the last hour or so. And I mean, that's going to be another thing.
There it is. Yep.
I think many people know where I've talked about with positional value. I'd be happy to see a cornerback in round two. I don't necessarily need to see him in round one, unless say someone like Ajaide Barron. If Will Johnson out of Michigan somehow falls to like 22, 23, I'd like to see the Bills maybe make a slight trade up to go get him. But I talked a lot about this draft class in that sense, where I think there's so many avenues the Bills can go, where last year we were talking a lot about just wide receiver, and there was a very specific wide receiver that a lot of us wanted.
Yes.
And if they didn't get that guy or they didn't trade up, I mean, that was a big thing
last year.
That
was a big thing, was try to go trade up. And the thing that nobody saw coming, though, was six quarterbacks and 12 picks. And that
the first defensive player going at 15.
Yeah, those are things that nobody predicts. Nobody has that on their mock draft. Otherwise, people will just like say that person deserves to be fired.
Yep.
And the big board for everyone fell to a point where nobody was willing to move. So, like, looking back on it, the context matters. This year, you have the ammunition, and that sort of nonsense isn't going to happen this year, to where, yeah, we can make a deal, try to get aggressive, move up a couple picks if we need to, because we have the ammunition, and they love trading that fourth round pick to move up. They love doing it. By the way, with the Porter article, it does look like they're going to be moving on from the cornerback profiles, which is perfect for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, I do think corner is a need, but at the same time, I need to see them D tackles, baby. Get me the draft profiles on the D tackles.
They've become the position I really want the Bills to zero in on. By the way, Tyrek Williams' measurables, 330 pounds, 6'3", wingspan of 78 inches.
Yes.
just, I mean, a big human being. I also, you know, and this is weird. Sal brought it up, I think, a few weeks ago, you know, certain big schools that the Bills had never drafted a player from. I know Alabama, I think, was on that list, or in the Bean McDermott era. I think Alabama was on that list. I'd love for them, though, go after the last two teams that won the national championship. Go get Michigan and Ohio State players.
Yes.
Is it going to work exactly the same, if at all, like the Eagles did with Georgia? Maybe not. Not a bad idea, though, to go after the last two national championships.
Right.
And just, hey, we're going to load up on this roster. Tyleg Williams or Kenneth Grant. You know, stuff like that. Wide receiver M.A. Kabuke out of Ohio State as well.
Yeah.
You know, I've brought up Kenneth Grant out of Michigan, or Will Johnson's there.
It's also because of the fact that the draft class is so deep that you might get yourself immediately a day one starter all the way down into like round three with this defensive tackle draft class.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel good.
Yeah, I like how this class has kind of been described. The star power is not necessarily there, but it's a ton of guys that could start on your roster.
I need starting impact immediately with a lot of these picks this year, mostly because, A, I don't expect you to make 10 selections, and B, especially with your first-round pick, you'd like to see that again.
Yep. Jack tweets in, get the 400-pounder from Florida on day three. That's Desmond Watson.
Desmond Watson.
If you've
baby.
Not seen any videos of him, please go look them up. And he's like 6'5", 400 pounds.
64.
Never started at Florida, but they used him in situations.
And that's, you have so much size that we cannot coach this size. Mm-hmm. Let's try to work you long term here. See if you make it into the pros, baby. That is a UDFA or a round 7 pick.
100%.
And the Bills currently don't have a round 7 pick.
And I'd like them to keep it that way.
Yes, for our mental
selfishly,
sake.
Selfishly, I'd like them to keep it that way.
Selfishly, because of the fact that we're going to be here all day.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to round 7, we are just like, you know, eyes bloodshot. We're kind of sick of sitting in the same chairs. And we want to be free from breathing the same building air that this building doesn't really recycle much of. Like, it's the same stale air of these buildings and offices.
For me, it's just like, it's that.
You're probably sick of seeing me at that point.
Not even. It's the transition from round 5 to 6 always seems to take forever.
Yeah. It's tough to watch it.
Like, oh, man.
It's tough to watch it as a fan objectively all the way through. And I'm not going to go ahead and sit here and complain about my job. I love doing the draft coverage. It does slow down immensely after round 5 goes into round 6. It's like, it's tough to keep up. And hopefully we get you all along with us for that so we can talk more during those times of the slowdown and everything like that, because it would be great to be able to engage with everyone on that.
Another name I do want to bring up here for maybe some second round defensive tackles they could go for, Alfred Collins, another Texas guy.
Yep.
You know, they didn't get Sweat last year, which is fine. I think Alfred Collins, though, could be another guy where you could look at and go, that's a big body coming in, great run defender for Texas this year. I could – there's so many routes that they could go here, and that's maybe my favorite part, where, again, last year it felt so clear this is where they're going, and if they don't do this very specific thing, it's going to frustrate some of us.
Right.
Where this year, you know, Nate has talked about Siobhan Revell being a first-round pick. And liking that idea, where I'm sitting there going like, I think you can get him in the second round. And if not, Maxwell Harrison out of Kentucky might be that guy. Trey Amos out of Ole Miss, we already have one of those draft profiles up, could be that guy. They don't go get a defensive tackle in round 1. They do go that cornerback route. I just brought up Alfred Collins. You like this? 6'6", 332 pounds.
As a matter of fact.
It's a hell of a space heater
As a matter of fact, I'd be able to placate Nate's Notre Dame bias. I'd say,
yeah,
second round, Benjamin Morrison.
Benjamin Morrison, or at safety, Xavier Watts. There's so many avenues they could go, and that makes this draft class exciting for the Bills.
I really do love Morrison and Watts as potential looks for the Bills, mostly because they also fit. Watts being that all-around deep safety.
Center fielder
type. Whereas Morrison, he's a willing run defender. He just doesn't make the greatest of tackles, but he has the long frame. He is a guy that can play man coverage for you. He is able to do everything that you need to do. It is just going to be, he's coming back from an injury. And again, he's not the greatest of tacklers. This might also strike some PTSD into people. He does sometimes get a little grabby.
Yep.
But if you use him on your third selection of your draft class, probably not going to hurt as much. But I liked what I saw from Morrison. Give me that type of player here in the second round.
Yeah, very, very exciting. Again, first round of this year's NFL draft. April 24th, Bill's off-season program, by the way, which those dates came out yesterday. If you do want to see more on that, Sal Capaccio has a piece up at our website, WGR550.com. That'll start earlier that week, April 21st. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Welcome back. Last segment here of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the board. Fantastic job at being central control today for what was the Bills topping off ceremony. We had Sal Capaccio on not once but twice within. Josh switched it over to the ceremony itself flawlessly. There were several people in his studio. He had to deal with that traffic as well. And us dealing with us all the time. So thank you, Josh, as always.
Of course.
Now I'm going to end this with a nitpick.
At me?
No, not you.
Oh, I thought it was going to be a Josh.
Oh my God, that would be so bad. The timing on my words was terrible there. On a nitpick about the NFL, not about Josh at all. Josh's biggest crime is that the Bills quarterback is also named Josh.
Why is it a crime?
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's your biggest crime, quote unquote.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just an unfortunate circumstance. Anyway, can we stop using highest paid for every contract extension?
Because, I mean, that's what it's become.
It is what it's become, but it's also redundant within like 4 days.
Yeah, but like within those 4 days, it is factually correct.
It's factually correct, and we got to go. But
it's like, all right, ready? The next guy that gets paid is going to take over.
I'm guessing 4 weeks later, Dallas Goedert is going to become the new highest paid tight end.
Yeah, same with Michael Parsons also being right. The highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL.
Whatever, I don't care anymore. All right, that's going to do it for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show for Zach, for Josh, for Sal down at the stadium. I'm Derek. Thank you. And Sabres Live coming up next.